30 days of gratitude. By definition, I shared last week that gratitude is the quality of being thankful, a readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. The flip side would be that ingratitude is a forgetfulness of or a poor return for kindness received. I think we would agree that there are a number of reasons why ingratitude can take place in our lives. And this week, through our studies, we sort of reflected on three of these. Envy can easily be a source of ingratitude. People who suffer from envy walk through life painfully obsessed by the advantages enjoyed by others, that they don't have enough compared to what others. And this can lead to such things as anger and even unhappiness. We were reminded again of entitlement, that unfortunately in the day that we live in, many people believe that they deserve certain privileges. And that can creep into the church. I mean, I believe that God has faithfully said that there are promises that we can claim and everything, but I think there are times that it's easy for us to even feel that we're entitled, that God owes us. Expectation. You know, we expect that something will happen. Somebody will give us something. And ingratitude is a result of unreasonable or inappropriate expectations. And so we are being encouraged to cultivate an attitude of gratitude and being aware that things like envy, entitlement, and expectation can peek into our lives, and that we would be careful not to let those seeds take root. Billy Graham said, gratitude is one of the greatest Christian virtues, ingratitude one of the most vicious sins. And so last week, our starting point was to keep our focus in on giving thanks to God, being thankful for God. And as we continue today, I'd like to take a few moments to be giving thanks to God for the church. Next week, I'd like us to be looking at the idea of being thankful for the work that God has begun in your lives, the work that God is doing in you and through you. And I want to ask you to pray for our brother Serge. Many of you know that Serge and Liz are going to be moving in a couple of weeks to Edmonton. And next week we will be gathering around the Lord's table. We will be observing communion as a family once again. And I will say a few words, and Serge next week is going to be sharing his story. He's going to be sharing what God's doing in his life. And I think we're going to be encouraged. And so I'll be praying for him as he will be sharing next week. The following week, which will be the fourth Sunday of the 30 days, I've titled it Thank God. And I want to encourage you that over these days when we are looking into God's Word, where we're being reminded of the things that we can be thankful for, and this attitude of gratitude is being cultivated, I'd like us to be prepared on that day to be sharing, hey, what's God saying to you? What are some of the things that you're thankful for? What's He showing you? And so I'm asking that you even now be preparing for that morning, that we can have a time where we can bless each other with items of praise about what God has been speaking to us about, what we're experiencing. So that's sort of where we're going forward with in these next few weeks. But this morning, I'd like us to be looking at giving thanks for the church. Over the years, I have had the privilege of serving in several churches. When I was growing up, we attended a number of churches, and chances are that a number of you have probably had that same experience, where you look and you've had different memories of experiences, of people that you've met, of what God did in your life at a certain place at a certain time. And so I want us to be thinking about God's church and being thankful for the church. This past week, I was attending a little seminar in Caledonia at the Gateway Alliance Church, sponsored by the Central Canadian District Office. And there was a New Ventures presentation. I think have probably touched a bit in our services over the last couple of years about New Ventures, but New Ventures to me is really seeing the church going beyond traditional walls. the church going forward and ministering in different ways that we probably wouldn't be able to do here. But I think that's what's exciting me, is the church is not restricted to walls. Okay? Now, I am thankful for the building that we have. No doubt about it. God has blessed us. But the church, is far more, and I don't think this is rocket, I hope this isn't rocket science for some of you, but the church is about the body of believers. The building is a blessing. Okay? And so when we look at these new ventures, it's interesting to see the way the church is going forward. There's a church plant that's just started up in Owen Sound. It's called The Exchange. And the focus of this church is they have a storefront right downtown in Owen Sound. And there's two ministries that they partnered with. I think it's Canadians Against Poverty, and the other one is Family Ministries, one of the Christian Family Ministries. And the idea is that in the communities that we're involved in, these are two of the greatest needs. A number of years ago, they said, I believe adultery was the number one reason for divorce. And if it hasn't been passed, it's almost been equal. The financial crisis and differences in a marriage relationship is one of the leading causes of relationships breaking up. And so here's an opportunity for the church to be in this exchange. And as they're front and center, they're offering some financial skills to people. And then you've got the family counseling, the family ministries that are taking place. That is very much the church. I love the word. I don't know if you caught the word that was coming out of that video over and over again. Hope. Hope. I believe that the church is the hope of the world. If Jesus Christ is the message that is proclaimed as the only way into salvation, that he is the hope. Bill Hybels at Willow Creek Community Church down in South Barrington, Illinois, large church, and he always said that the church is the hope of the world. And I agree with him, but it was always short, because Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And the church needs to be proclaiming that. And sadly, there are several churches, even in our community, that aren't given the full message that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. So as long as I am pastoring, as long as we have elders that are holding me responsible, as long as you are committed to that way, this church will be a place that will continue to proclaim Jesus Christ as the hope of the world. Okay? So let's remember that. But as we were listening to this presentation of the new ventures, what came out of it was this, that there is a new podcast that just started up this past week, and it's called New Waters. Now, I'm not sure any of you listen to any podcasts. Okay, a couple. It's just something that's, I think maybe it's a generational thing. I know some of the younger people are into them, but I listened to it. I've listened to a few of them, and it was interesting because they were talking about the way the church is seen in our community. See if you agree with this. The church at one time was seen as the voice of, I'd almost say the voice of reason. The church said something and people stood up and took notice. Over time, as our society, as our country became more secular, the church moved to being a place that while it said something, there was much opposition against it. Or it seemed like the message of the church was that they're against something. Come forward. The next step is I was going through this podcast, and the podcast said this. So we've gone to the voice, the church was a voice being listened to, that the voice, the church was as a voice that was seen as being against something, to the voice now that society really doesn't care what the church says anymore. And that's this progression that we've seen in our society. The church, combats the me society that really became prevalent in the 60s and beyond. It's just grown. It's all about me. It's the big I. So when people come into the church, there needs to be an understanding as God's working in their hearts and their lives that there is a movement from this me that I am the focus, at least the world says I'm the focus of all things, to that there's a we, that, you know, a we, that it's us, but our focus moves from we, to, from me to we, to he. He is the hope of the world, and then the, okay? Pretty tricky, eh? Okay? Work with me here. Me, we, he, the, okay? And so we move in that progression that the focus changes, and really the focus of the church is all about Jesus Christ. So this is what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for that the message of the church, the hope of the church, is Jesus Christ. I thank God for the church who can see not only for who they are, but for who they are becoming in Christ. And again, we're going to hear a bit about that next week. This work that God is doing in our lives. Paul makes a point to give thanks in his letters for the churches he was writing to. And I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And listen to these words. I'm going to start in verse 3. Actually, I'll start with the beginning. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brothers of brother Sosthenes, the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of the grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed to you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. It's a beautiful introduction. And then he takes a breath, and he starts confronting the believers there about the divisions that were in the church. For the better part, this letter is really one of correction. But as we look at it, I'm reminded that while the church is not perfect, he who is the head of the church is. And it needs to be our desire that we are made more into his likeness each and every day. And that was the message that Paul was saying. Paul loved the believers at Corinth. But as he would go into it, there is an admonishment here. There's correction here. And we look at our church, we look at our church family, and you know what? If we were to look around, you know, don't strain your necks too much, but you look around, and chances are you could say, yeah, I'm thankful for those people. If you look the other way, you might say, oh my goodness gracious. You know, because chances are that because of our personality difference and everything, you know what? Can I say it? We don't always like each other. And you can see that in the New Testament. I found it very interesting. I think this is amazing. I'm trying to find my sheet here. But the one another phrases, in the New Testament alone, there's 40 of them. The one that I always sort of smile at is when it says, bear with one another. Now, why would that be there? We know why it's there. Because we're all wired differently. And the key thing about it is that we can give thanks for each other. You know, we talked about in the scriptures last week as we were starting that the verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And maybe we had to change it, for everyone give thanks. So we as the church have been brought together by one common fact. Jesus Christ. We've experienced his grace and his mercy, and we've been brought together. we're all under construction at the same time. And so there are going to be times when we're going to rub out against each other. But there needs to be a commitment to one another. And so we can give thanks for each other and thank God for our differences and ask him for the extra measure of grace that is needed in some of the relationships. I think that's quite clear in God's word. Thank God for his church. So when you look around and you see friends and people you enjoy spending time, thank God for those people. The church is made up of flawed and imperfect people, but saved by grace, by the grace of Christ, sanctified by the Spirit, and called to be God's holy people. Again, I repeat that the church through Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. Jesus became my Savior when I was in high school. Jesus is the one who provides salvation, gives purpose, and hope for everyone who will say yes to him. My gratitude is great towards the Father who gave his Son that we may have eternal life. The local church is God's chosen plan for redemption. There is no plan B. And so, again, we need to give thanks for the church. Can you thank God for his church this morning? And realizing, hey, we are just one of the, like, we're like the baby toe compared to the whole body of the church. The body of Christ is made up of many parts. And we can take that locally, and we can say, even in our church family, that all of us sort of are being brought together by the grace of God, united in love, and we form this body. But when we look at the church that is continuing to grow around the world, we see that we're just that one little part. But we can give thanks that this morning or this day that there are believers in Guinea, and we've been praying for the Dubais, that there are believers in Cambodia, that there are believers in Japan, that there are believers throughout our community that are worshiping together. And we can give thanks that we are part of the big capital C church. And we need to give thanks for that. I love it. I love the fact that there are many many fellowships throughout our town, our city. And a number of them are ministering in different ways, some to different age groups, and I can give thanks for them. I think as pastors, and I know Pastor Dan might agree or disagree with this, but there was a number of years that I attended ministerials. I dreaded attending ministerials because ministerials seemed to be competitive. You'd walk in and it was like, yeah, we're doing this and we're doing this and we're doing this. And I remember even our district conference. And finally, one year, one of the guys got up and he says, if someone asks me how many people are attending my church on Sunday morning, I'm going to scream. Because it was all, maybe you haven't had that experience. So how many did you have out Sunday morning? And I just say all of them. But here's the deal. God is building his church. And we need to give thanks. We need to give thanks that actually, because of his grace, we're in on that. Let me read, starting in Ephesians chapter 1, some of Paul's. Just follow with me as we flip through these. Paul, again, makes it a point of giving thanks. In first chapter of Ephesians, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. Over into Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. In Colossians, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints and the faith and love that springs from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. In 1 Thessalonians, listen to these words, Paul and Silas and Timothy, the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continue to remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think Paul gives us three things here that we should be thankful for. Paul was thankful for their work of faith. Our church family here has been here for about 40 years. As happens with most church plants, there was probably a faithful group that started out, and some of you have been in this experience. We talked about this the other day at the New Ventures thing, where Caledonia started with three families meeting in one of the couple's homes, in their living room, for Bible study and prayer, believing that God was calling them. They added a couple of families, and then there was a pastor that was called, and they moved forward in faith in Jesus Christ, that they were in the will of God. And I believe that that happened here. I believe that St. Catherine's, the church plant here in St. Catherine's, was as a result of those who were committed to seeing God's church go forward, and that they were people of faith that says, God, we believe that you're planting a church here, and we want to be a part of it. Pastor Aaron, I'm sure there was a number of church plants, I think, that you were involved in. And I'm sure that faith was right at the core of that group that was meeting. And so this morning, when we give thanks for the church, can I ask us to make this personal this morning that we at Westboro would be thankful for the works of faith that God has done, is doing, and is going to do. I believe that God still wants to do several things here that we can't even see. But as a people of faith, let's give thanks for what God has done. And for the church that we are a part of. We see that they were thankful for the labor of their love. And this is part of the message this morning that I am thrilled about. When I see people that are serving in their areas of passion, when I see people that are serving in areas of passion here in the church, you know, you see those who are committed to the worship every week. You see people that have faithfully given leadership to the ladies' Bible study that has meant for so many years on Thursday mornings. I look and I see people that are committed to serving in our children's ministries. And we don't have a lot of children at this present time, but that's going to pray. That's going to change. I believe God is preparing us. But I thank God for those people that are serving in their areas of passion, in their labors of love. And I think this is something, too, again, that I'm reminded that while I'm thankful that we are serving each other as we express the usage of our gifts within the body of Christ, that there are those who are serving the church beyond these walls. There are those who are involved in ESL, okay? And I would hope that is prompted because it's become a labor of love. They've seen a need there, and they've responded. We've talked about different things that I'm going to talk about in a few moments, about Youth Unlimited. I have a privilege of being with Hockey Ministries. The other night was Niagara Life Center, and I'm going to talk about some of these things in a moment. And there's places out of the cold. You know, you can list them. But there are places beyond these walls that we are able to serve as we are moved by God's love in our lives. And I would hope that those areas of ministry are a labor of love. Paul said he was thankful for their endurance of hope, and this is the one that strikes home to me. If we were to look into 1 Peter, you'd see that Peter was writing to a people who are living in a world that had no power to change. Many of their friends had been put to death. There was hunger and other heartaches abounding. Peter's desire was to point them to something that was greater than the life that they were experiencing. There is a living hope, and he wanted them to know him and trust him. And Peter wrote these words, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And so I look at this, and I see that in the church that we need to be thankful that there is an endurance of the hope that exists in the lives of God's children. The world needs hope, and they're looking for it everywhere. And it's up to the church for us to speak the message of hope that's in Jesus Christ. It's up for us to go forth and to be a visible sign and to reflect the hope that we're experiencing in the lives of those who do not know it. I am not one to listen to the news. I find it hopeless. And yet, I know people that listen to it every day. And I'm sure that they are consumed to the point where there's just no hope. We, my friends, are a people who are experiencing this hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And again, this letter is to the church in Rome. How well was the Christian movement being received in Rome? Not very well at all. And yet here's Paul saying, "May the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, may it overflow. May it overflow." A number of years ago, I remember seeing a movie called The Shawshank Redemption, and there's two main characters, Andy and Red. Andy is a businessman that had been convicted of a double homicide, and as he's in the state prison, there's conversation between him and Red started up. Andy said, "I had Mr. Mozart to keep me company after as he was in confinement for 2 months. It was here. It was in here. It was in here," as he gestures over his heart. That's the beauty of music. They can't get that away from you. Haven't you ever felt that way about music? Red says, "Well, I remember I played a mean harmonica as a young man. Lost interest in it, though. Didn't make much sense in here." Andy says, "No, here's where it makes the most sense. You need it so you don't forget." And Red says, "Forget?" He says, "Yeah, that there are places in this world that aren't made out of stone. That there's something inside that they can't get to. They can't touch. It's yours." And Red says, "What are you talking about, Andy?" And he says, "Hope. Hope. Hope, let me tell you something," Red says to his friend. "Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane. It's got no use on the inside. You better get used to that idea." Andy said, "No, hope is the best thing." Red's hope was in Shawshank Prison. That place was the end of him. That was all he saw. That was as far as he planned to go. To think otherwise would drive him insane. Andy placed his hope beyond the walls of Shawshank. His hope motivated him towards a better day. Our hope motivates us that day is coming when we will see Jesus Christ face to face. It will be a better day. I enjoy the life that I have in here, but I've been challenged recently in my thinking about heaven, about that glorious time that we're going to have together. And so I would encourage you to realize, you know, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, we experience right now, but we're going to experience it fully when we see him face to face. That's the blessed hope that we have. That's the hope that the world needs. So let me come back to Youth Unlimited. Let me come back and talk to you about Rose, as she shared with us in the summer, the ministry to so many young women who have children. Single moms, single teen moms. And that's what excites me, that even now that we can come alongside. The little pantry that we have out there is starting to fill up. We set a target of 20 hampers for Christmas. And I believe that we will do that easily. but we need to be done as we're prompted by a labor of love that says we want to extend some hope through Youth Unlimited to these girls and these young men who otherwise are just seem to be wallowing in the errors of their ways. That is the church. That is the church. And we can offer hope. This past week, I attended the chapel day for Hockey Ministry International. And I hope you don't get tired of me sharing from time to time about this. You know, 12 years ago when I started, I think there was maybe 12 or 15 hockey teams in Ontario that had chaplains. This past week, there was more than 40 chapel leaders representing teams across the Ontario Hockey League, the Junior Bs, the universities, girls hockey, and several weren't there. And that is the church going into another, literally, arena. But let me tell you about Friday night. Friday night, a number of us attended the Niagara Life Center fundraiser. I got to tell you, I'd have gone just for this cart because it's amazing. I've played with it for hours, you know. But here's the message. Hope changes everything. Hope changes everything. And as I open it up, bear with me. Let me get to the other one. You are not alone. There is hope. There is help. There is healing. Is that the message of Niagara Life Center? Yes. But it's the message of the church. That's the message of the church. And that's why I got to tell you, it was one of the best fundraisers I've ever been to. It was packed. There was over 600 people at it. You know what the amazing part was? When I listened to Rose, and she shares some of the stories, when I listened to some of the chapels share some of the stories, when I listened to some of the people that have gone through different programs at the Niagara Life Center, and they share some of the stories, what keeps coming forward? A hope that I found. A hope that I found. A hope that I found. Why do I thank God for the church? Because the church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the only way into salvation is the hope of the world. And so this morning, I want us to give thanks for the church. I want to give thanks. I love the stories. And I've said it several times. We need to be people who tell our stories, where his story intersects our story. We need to be doing that more. The stories are powerful. The church proclaims Jesus Christ as the hope to mankind. And so this morning, I want us to take a moment here. And I want you to reflect. For some of you, maybe this is the only church you ever attended. And so maybe your experience will be limited to just looking and thinking about people who have been in these walls, a part of this fellowship, for a number of years. People that have encouraged you. Maybe people that have given to you. Maybe people that you've seen serving. And I want you to take a moment, and I want you to thank God for you. I know there's some of you that are visiting with us today. Great to see you here. And as you're here, maybe you just want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to think back to those churches that you've been part of, fellowships that you've enjoyed elsewhere. And think about those people that served, that gave. Some led, some were behind the scenes. But in whatever way you remember them, I want you to thank God for them. In my own experience, I thought of four people this morning. And I could have an extensive list. I thought of a man named Ronnie. Ronnie had a fake arm. I was about 8 years old. I attended the Salvation Army Church in Toronto. And Ronnie led the Boy Scouts of the church. Ronnie was the most unlikely guy you would ever think that would lead a bunch of guys running around playing floor hockey as 8-year-olds going crazy. Ronnie was faithful. He never missed. He was always there. He was always encouraging. And so I think back and I think of the Ronnies of the world. I think of a guy named Bill Kerr, who is our Christian Service Brigade leader, who on more than one occasion went home and talked to his wife and says, if I don't quit, I'll kill him. and, you know, just, you know, but he was there faithfully. I bumped into him a year ago when I drove with Paige out to Trail, BC, and we had to go through the Vancouver airport. I was on my phone, and I mentioned to Dia something about the church, and this guy stopped in the Vancouver airport. He heard the word church. He stopped, and I looked up, and he looked at me, and he just smiled and shook his head. Of course, then he had to tell my daughter all the stories about Christian Service Brigade and how well-behaved we were. But I'm thankful for Bill Kerr. I'm thankful for a guy named Mr. Milford, who was the Sunday school superintendent for years at one of the churches, one of the Baptist churches that I attended in Toronto. I'm thankful for Hannah Cairns, a lady in the church in Bellevue who made the best homemade donuts. I it wasn't anything about ministry, but I just happened to like the donuts. But who are we thankful for this morning? When we think of the church, let's give thanks for the church as a whole collectively, globally, locally, and this morning here. Let's give thanks. And let's give thanks for one another. There are no perfect churches, but we have one who is the head of the church who is perfect. I'm going to close with this little poem called The Perfect Church by a lady named Mavis Williams. If you should find the perfect church without one fault or smear, for goodness sakes, don't join that church. You'd spoil it. You'd spoil the atmosphere. If you should find the perfect church where all anxiety cease, then pass it by, lest by joining you mar that masterpiece. If you should find the perfect church, then don't you ever dare to tread upon such holy ground. You'd be a misfit there. But since no perfect church exists made of imperfect men, let's cease looking for that church and love the church we're in. Of course, it's not a perfect church. That's simple to discern. But you and I and all of us could cause the tide to turn. What fools we are to flee our post in that fruitful search to find at last where problems loom, God proudly builds his church. So let's keep working in our church until the resurrection, and then we each will join the church without any imperfection. Let's give thanks for the church. I thank God for the church. Let's pray.